Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting. Well, I guess our music didn't want to start this evening, and I apologize. It'll start now. That's the way radio goes in radio land, is technology doesn't always work. We're just going to cut it out of here really quick. All right, anyway, this is Mastering Life Simplicity. I'm your host, Jeffrey Lund. Wonderful to have technical difficulties when we come back on the air after so long. Thanks to all of our followers who listen to us across the country and around the world. And to my New York listeners, thanks for always calling in and giving your viewpoint. As I know, some of you may call us this evening because this topic tends to be in the news a lot recently, especially with elections coming up. Tonight, our title is Hear His Story, Living Undocumented. But as we do with every show over the last year and a half, we start off with the holiday of today, December 10th. There's a holiday celebrated every year since 1948. It was started by the United Nations. And today's holiday is Human Rights Day. So my question would be to all of the listeners and those that listen to us on the podcast, how did you practice human rights today, and what was kind of going through your mind? As we listen to what's going on politically, we hear that we should build walls between Mexico and the U.S., that we shouldn't let Muslims enter our country, et cetera, et cetera. My wife, being a Japanese-American, her parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and family were all put in intern camps during World War II, had their rights taken away, their belongings taken away, just because they were of Japanese descent, even though they were loyal Americans. So what we're talking about this evening is the title of undocumentation. And if you go look at the Merriam-Webster dictionary, you're going to find that it means not having official documents that are needed to enter, live in, or work in a country legally, you know, not having that written proof. So I want to do a little few facts for our listeners and, again, those who will podcast this later. There's around 11.1 million undocumented individuals in the U.S. currently. Some say the number's closer to 16 million. But when we look at it, and when we hear a lot, especially in this part of the country, we're in Colorado, in this area, where our focus tends to be on the Hispanic population, especially those from Mexico. However, if you look at the data, which I argue all the time, 36% of our undocumented individuals are of Asian descent, and only 31% of Hispanic descent. That's only 67%, if I knew my math, 67% of our individuals that even fall into those two categories. And when we start looking at the other races, we could break it down in other countries. It's not just one group, culture, ethnic group. So those facts I wanted to kind of bring about before we introduce our guest. And our guest this evening is Luis. And Luis, I'll let you go ahead and kind of introduce yourself really quick.
All right. Hello. Hello. I'm Luis. I'm from Colorado. Very good friends with Jeff. And, yeah, I got a lot of topics about this. I got my opinion, and I'm just happy to be here, speak up, and give out my point of view.
Yeah, and Luis and I go back a few years as we came across each other through education. As I was a principal of a high school, Luis was attending high school. And I think since then, I had a lot of great conversations. I think we have a lot of the same viewpoints and aspirations to make a difference in this world. But I guess for me, Luis, you know, one question I want to ask you quickly is, at what age did you actually come into the United States?
I had just turned 11 years old, and I mean, at that point of age, I couldn't make a decision for myself, so it was up to my parents to decide if we wanted to move here or not. So yeah, I was 11, my little brother was 7, my sister was barely 1.
Okay, and then so when we think about that, and you know, I in the past have written some letters to some attorneys as individuals have had to go in front of the courts for deportation. And thinking about that, I think you made a key point. It's something that I argued in one case particular, but as a child, when your family wants to do the best for you, and as a parent, and I am a parent, you know, we're always looking out for our children's best interest in their future. And a lot of times we sacrifice in order to make it best for them. And I think about, you know, here you are as a child, 11 years old, your brothers and sisters younger, and sitting there saying, well, we can't go there. That's not legal or whatever the case. It's not like you're going to sit back there and try to take care of yourself. I mean, you're going to go with your family, correct? I mean, I think you kind of said it's like, well, I knew I needed to go. I mean, right, Luis? I mean, I don't know. What was the journey like? What was the journey like for you?
Well, it was a journey. I'm not going to lie. Probably like almost 2 years before we moved, my brother and I started taking private classes to learn English and all that stuff because my parents were already planning everything out. When the day came, I mean, it was a journey. I'm not going to lie, and I'm not afraid to say it. I did walk through the desert, and oh, my God, it's an experience that honestly I don't wish for anyone. It's a horrible experience. You see things that I'm not going to lie. I'll remember those things the rest of my life. I was 11 and I still remember every step of the way. Seeing some houses that were covered with bullets, seeing bones of people, clothes everywhere. I mean, it was just impressive seeing what a lot of people do, and not just Mexicans, but people like Cubans or people from Central America that travel to Mexico in order to get to the U.S. They do this huge journey just to get somewhere safer, somewhere where they're going to actually progress, have a better life, maybe give something better for their children or whatever it is. But it's a journey, I'm not going to lie. And I just wish people wouldn't go through that. It's an awful, awful experience. And what I remember the most is that in that journey, I almost lost my mother. We ran out of water. She was dehydrating. She was saving a water bottle just to give it to my brother and I. And she wasn't drinking anything, so she was dehydrating, feeling horrible and all that. Finally, we saw a rancher, and one of the guys that was with us, he's like, I don't care, we get caught right now. She needs help. Some other people need help. And he just took off running. He took off running, went to the rancher, and he helped us out. He gave us some water. He told us, you're not going to be safe right here. The best thing to do is to go back. It's about to get dark, and drug lords are going to start coming out, trying to move drug across the border and all that. So it's not going to be safe for you guys. Just go back and just go back. It's not going to work. So we did. We finally made it back to the hotel we were staying at. And right away, my dad was already in Colorado at that time. My mom called my dad. She's like, I'm not doing this. This is horrible. She told him what happened. And then my dad was like, don't worry, I'll come get you. The next morning, they came and picked us up. They're like, yeah, we're going to try a different route. You only have to walk 10 minutes. That's what they told us. Then they put us in this, like, dumpster. And it was crazy because it was, like, it was a dumpster. They left us there. All of a sudden, kids that were probably 4 or 5 years older than me came on pickup trucks with assault rifles, guns, and everything. And all they said, who do you belong to? And, I mean, we didn't know what to say. I mean, we were not allowed to say who was crossing us or nothing. And a huge argument happened right there between some people and them and whatever. But we started walking at one point, and we made it through. And I'm not going to lie, it was an experience that it was traumatizing being a 10, 11-year-old kid. I'm sure many kids that age go through that experience and are never going to forget. And I just don't think it's right to have borders or nothing like that. I mean,
sure.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, and it is hard because, like, I think we need to go back to is a lot of times we feel like we have no choice but to take that risk. And I don't know that people really understand the risk that individuals have taken to find peace. We see it right now in Europe, Syrians leaving and moving across. And there's just, it's a lot of fear amongst the people as well as, like, what's going on and how do we support all of this, this influx of individuals, et cetera. But, you know, Luis, so you make it, your mom made it, and your family, and you're together, and then all of a sudden you end up in this new land, right? So you end up in Colorado. Well, it's not Mexico, right? But
oh,
then
no.
I want to ask a question. So in Mexico, the family felt they needed to leave. You've mentioned drug lords. You mentioned fear. You mentioned the rifles and the kids and all of that. And then you come here. Do you really find that you escaped oppression like that to enter into a new oppression? Do you understand what I mean? Like, what was it like to enter school? What are the challenges now? Because now you're in a foreign land and maybe not accepted because of who you are.
Yeah, and I mean, crossing the border was the first part of the journey. Once we got here, once I started school, that's when the real journey started. I've always liked school since I was young. I've always wanted good grades, work hard for good grades. And once I started sixth grade, that's when my challenge began. That's when I would come home crying, just wanting to move back because it was a struggle. They put me to work with a few Hispanic kids, and they made it even harder for me to understand, to try to learn and everything, just for the simple fact that I wasn't from the same state that they were. They're like, oh, you're from this state, we're from this other state, we're not going to help you. We don't care about you. You're not one of our people. I was like, but we're the same. It doesn't matter what color you are, what language you speak, where you come from. We're still people. We're still equal and all of that. So my first year, sixth grade, was a struggle. But I worked hard, pulled out my grades somehow. One seventh grade started. A few Americans, people that were born here, started accepting me. I started hanging out with them, tried to work hard to speak better English and all that stuff. And, I mean, at that point, everything started to become easier because I was like, I can do it on my own. I don't need somebody that's not going to help you, that's not going to help me around me. So that's when I started, like, doing things on my own, started looking for opportunities and all that. But I know it's not like that everywhere. People struggle, I'm not going to lie. And go ahead.
But school is tough to begin with anyway. I mean, as you know and as I know, having worked in education as a teacher and every aspect of education, it's really hard just for kids, period. You know, we see a lot in the news just on bullying. But then what was interesting to me, Luis, is when I came to that high school and, you know, I'd been in the corporate world forever. I'd been a diversity trainer for a large corporation in this country. I got into education, became a principal, came to that school. It was amazing to me when I talked about Hispanic and Latino, but the kids in the high school you were at would be like, no, we're Mexican. And right then I knew that, you know, I was offensive by saying Hispanic, and so I had to learn the whole culture of that high school because primarily the students that were Hispanic descent were all from Mexico, right? And so then it made me look at something because of the Costa Rican kids that came that would come to the office because they felt like they didn't fit. It was amazing to me, but I think that not funny, but you know, something one time is I remember a white kid and he looked at me and he goes, "This is America." And I don't know why we have to learn to speak Mexican. I was like, "What do you mean, taking Spanish class? It's Spanish, it's not Mexican." You know, it's just that I think a lot of things come from home. So not only do we have kids that are from the U.S. dealing with bullying and all these things in school, now you compound, as you're talking about, being not originally of this country, whether you were documented or not, it wouldn't matter because you would be set as being different. So with that being said, what about navigating to school and work? How did that go? What kind of jobs were you able to get? What did you do?
Well, my first job, I got it when I had just turned 15, and I still remember the name of the restaurant. It was called Redstone. It was actually right next to the post office up here in Estes. It's now gone, but that was my first job, and I was washing dishes. The owner was super nice with me and everything. At that point, I had to use a fake social. I made it up in order to get that job. I needed to make money somehow and still keep up with school. So I will go to school, and he will give me four nights to go and help him out a couple hours, and then I could go back home, do my homework and stuff like that. You know, I love soccer. That's my passion. So during soccer season, I will have to miss soccer practice twice a week so I could make it to work, then work weekends, still go to school, somehow manage to make some time to do my homework, study for tests, and all that stuff. And, I mean, it's challenging because I know a lot of kids up here did that, not just Hispanics, but a lot of Americans. They will have a job at a young age. And, I mean, I think it's challenging just for any individual when you have to deal with school, work, and other activities you want to do. You got to manage your time very well. So, I mean, I just think it's hard for anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're going through that situation, you're going to find it challenging.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's interesting you bring that up because a lot of times a lot of kids, a lot of adults, a lot of us are kind of sheltered because we haven't grown up, excuse me, in homes of where we all have to work and pitch in. And you know, one of the groups that suffers a lot in education is poverty. And when you think of poverty, it is where the family may not have much, and it doesn't matter the race or being American or not, poverty exists. I mean, my father grew up of one of 10 kids, and he was Danish, and my grandfather was a migrant farmer in the U.S., so they had no money, right? So sometimes half the kids had to live here. They had to hunt for food, stand in food lines, and do all of that, and were discriminated against just because of their poverty level. And so when we start to compound all of this and we want to focus on living undocumented and not into all of that, what differences did you make along the way to help others? And I know of one, but I'll let you tell the story. And then after we talk about that, because we're down to about 11 minutes, then what are your future dreams and goals, and what do you want to do to make a difference? So think about first, you know, what differences did you make or impacts or struggles did you try to overcome to help others while growing up here?
Well, I mean, growing up here, once I noticed where people struggle, I try to help. Sometimes we had kids that would come to our school. They spoke zero English. They were put there to learn, and people would push them away. You don't understand us. We don't want to talk to you. You're from here. You're from there. We're not going to help you. And, I mean, I feel like there is when people should come together, help one another. Yeah, he needs help. Why not give him a hand? And I think another thing I'm really happy I did. Once I was done with high school, I took a year off, and some of my great friends had already graduated, and they were not going to college. They were not doing anything. And then finally I talked to them. I was like, "Hey, guys, how about we move out together? Let's start community college together." Well, everyone taking their own classes, but let's start together. Let's help each other. Let's do something. It's not fair that us having this opportunity. We're just screwing around, doing nothing with our time. So at that point, two of my great friends and I moved out, and we started college, community college actually. A semester later, two more of my great friends decided to join us. They're like, it seems like you guys are having fun. You guys are learning. You guys are doing something right. Let's get a beer house and let's do this together, help each other. And I mean, I feel that was a great choice because it helped me grow up. I'm not going to lie. Moving out at the age of 18 from my parents' house and paying school on my own, paying rent on my own, my car, and all those responsibilities made me grow up. And I know it made my friends grow up and see things differently.
And I think that is great. And you know, just another kind of question as you were talking, you know, talking about going to college, and I know your struggles, and we had talked at one point about changing the energy, which you've done really well, is, you know, people talk about power. And a lot of your power comes from your actions. And when people see your actions and they see that, hey, that can be done, that's a lot of power. You don't have to have money to have power. You don't have to have status to have power. I think you just have to care and have a good heart. But how have recent law changes helped you in some of those quests and moves?
Well, before we started college, this new law was approved. I think it's called DECA, where student immigrants were allowed to get a two-year visa, not allowed to leave the country, but they were allowed to get a social and were allowed to go to school and all that stuff. And that helped a lot because my tuition went from almost $5,000-$6,000 to $2,000. So, I mean, that made a big difference in the mm-hmm. money aspect. And I know it helped a lot of kids. Excuse me, all over. I know it helped a lot of kids because they wanted to go to college. Once that opportunity opened up, I know a bunch of people went in. They decided to go back to school, or they decided to get a decent job. They're like, okay, we got more opportunities right now. Let's forget about working at McDonald's, making $8 an hour, and let's try something new. We were bilingual. We got opportunities. Let's find something else. And I think those laws helped a lot. But I do think they need to be better. They need to help out more.
But I think, you know, if we see all the election stuff coming up, and you know, I won't pick on the man with the hair, but we start hearing these comments and a lot of support around those comments. What my fear is you know, if I look at you, Luis, and I listen to you, and you know, and I know you, and I think if people were to get around you and understand your care and energy, really quick thinking about that, do you find it like, do you consider yourself an American? Or do you not consider yourself an American?
I do. And why? Because I'm in this country. This country feeds me, provides me a job. I'm grateful for it. I consider myself an American. I consider myself a Mexican. Yeah, I was born there. But I'm here right now. And I'm here to work for a better future. I couldn't get that future down there. And that's unfortunate. It's my land. Yeah. But right now, I feel like it is the land of opportunity. So as long as this land gives me the opportunity to do better, I'm always going to mm-hmm. have its back. I'm always going to be there to help out however I can. Make a good impression on everyone or help out, whatever it is.
Sure. And the only reason I ask that is because a lot of times, you know, I listen to people and I understand, you know, everything, it gets, in my opinion, this show is called Mastering Life Simplicity. And I think if we would stop worrying so much and start focusing, I think you said something good there when you said, you know, well, why aren't we coming together? You know, I remember going to the high school and looking at groups of Mexicans fighting against each other because of differences or this or that. And my argument was always like, don't you have enough to worry about? Why not band together to make a positive change? And as you know, and I know, I spent a lot of time trying to change the culture around all kids, you know, not just one group, but make it helpful to all kids, at which time I was called a racist at some point. But I guess my thing is, Luis, I don't know that we can ever change anyone. We can only influence others. And so not spending energy to change people, but I think we need to spend energy to influence people. So as you and I have been talking, and I know we're going to talk maybe tomorrow, and I'm going to ask you some questions because 1,800 students have signed up now to hear me speak in January. So I'm kind of excited because most of them will be of Hispanic descent and Native Americans from some of the reservations in the area. You know, I really want to pick your brain when we talk here, and I may ask you to do an audio or video statement that I can play during the presentation, but that's a lot of kids that are coming because we need to learn how to break the barriers, right? So I think what I'd like you to share in the last few minutes is, what difference do you want to make, or what footprint do you want to leave, or what is it in these journeys in life that you feel would make you feel successful?
Honestly, I want opportunities to open up, not just for me, but for kids in general. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. If you want to do it, opportunities should be there, and I want to help out with that. I also want to help out with just getting communities together, especially mine. I know it's been getting better, but it's unfortunate seeing people fight about the dumbest thing ever. Oh, you have a nicer car than me. I hate you. I don't like you. I'm going to fight you. Oh, you listen to this type of music. I don't like you. I mean, come on. Yeah, we all have our own likes. Some people have more than others, but some people get there by working hard. Don't hate others. Just try to unite. Maybe working together will bring you a good, will make you progress and all that stuff. Sometimes, I don't like hatred. I think actually hating someone, it's a super big thing to say. And I just want to change that. I want to just give people my point of view. Maybe they start thinking another way, or give a chance to think differently. Be like, all right, how about I give it a try? How about I actually, like, I've been in school. I know it's hard, but it pays off at the end. It pays off. Everything pays off. Doesn't matter what you put your effort into it. As long as you do it with your heart, put will and everything to it, it's going to pay off. Sometimes in life, doors are going to close on you all the time. It doesn't matter if you're 1 or 100, doors are always going to be closing up on you, and many others are going to get open. And I think people should open their eyes to that. Just because one door doesn't close to you doesn't mean the world is over. Doesn't mean your life is going to end. No, it's just telling you, hey, look for something else. There's something else better out there. We all have a bubble, and we got to pop that bubble so we can experience new things.
And I think that's a good point. You know, we're down to about the last minute and a half. But I think, you know, what's important to think about, Luis, is when you talked about being a kid, seeing the bones of people and the guns and the bullet-ridden houses and the things that you saw and that tough journey and the sacrifice of your mom. But now when you look at stuff around you, a lot of it seems really petty, doesn't it? A lot of it seems really petty when we're fighting over material things, or we're judging people because maybe they don't have the papers, or maybe they're this color, or they're that religion. I think what's really important for everyone that's listening and everyone around us, Luis, is that we need to step back and look at the other person's point of view, learn to collaborate and communicate in order to innovate new ways of thinking and living, to find peace and to make this world move forward. And with that, we're down to about 20 seconds. I want to thank you, Luis, for being here. I look forward to what we're trying to get done here in the near future. Thanks, Luis. Also, visit our new Facebook page at F the Fear. Fight the fear, flee the fear, forget the fear, face the fear, and just F the fear and enjoy life. Thank you, Luis, and we'll cut off, and I think I'll see you tomorrow, right?
Yes, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. It was fun. I'm great to be here.
All right. Take care, my friend, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm gonna let you build it.